Right now, heavyweight boxer Evander Holyfield is known inside and outside the ring as a man who can withstand any blow. He started his boxing career as a 65-pound 8-year-old and eventually became the world heavyweight champion. Holyfield has a new autobiography out, and he joins us today from our New York bureau to talk about it. So good to have you with us, Mr. Holyfield.
Thank you.
And if you want to talk with Evander Holyfield about his life in and out of the ring, give us a call. The number 800-989-8255, and the email address is talk@npr.org. And I wanted to ask you first, Mr. Holyfield, about how you got into boxing. You got intrigued by it as a little boy. What was so intriguing to you about boxing?
Well, it was just the speed bag was making a lot of noise, and I wanted to hit the speed bag. So I asked the coach, can I hit the speed bag? He said no. And every day I asked him to, he said yes.
And when you first hit it, what did you feel about it when you first did it?
Well, he didn't let me hit the speed bag. He allowed me to hit the heavy bag. And that's when I kind of skipped my knuckle and my knuckle started to bleed. And he told me to stop, and I kept doing it. And he said, you tough, ain't you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, you could be the heavyweight champion of the world.
Wow.
And I told him I was only 8. And he said, you won't always be 8. And I knew he was right because next week I was going to be 9. So he asked me, what did I think? I said, I had to ask my mom. He said, well, go home and ask your mom. And I went home and asked my mom. And she said, yes, you can, but 3 things you have to do. You have to listen, follow direction, and not quit. And so that's how it started.
Yeah. And I gather that your mother was a tremendous influence on you. In fact, I think you say at one point that if it weren't for her, you would have quit boxing at a certain point.
Yes, she was. You know, we were very structured. And what my mother said, go. And just like I said, you know, my mother was my hero. And the book wouldn't even be my book if it wasn't for my mother, because everything that I'm mentioning is the things that my mother told me so many times that I never could forget it.
So she helped you get the discipline you needed in order to really achieve what you achieved with boxing, I gather.
Well, yes. My mother put me in a position where that I could receive from the coaches and everybody who came into my life that had something to offer.
Now, an interesting thing was you wrote about how racism also served as a kind of motivation for you at certain points. You lost a fight, and many others thought you had won that fight. Tell us about that story.
Well, yes, you know, as a young kid, and you know, being at the boys' club, my coach's name was Carter Morgan. He was white, and when we went other places and you and I fought against kids that was white, I would get the best, but I wouldn't get the decision. But my coach said, oh, it's all right, you know, you will win the big ones. And he said, don't, you know, this is just practice. You know, every time I wouldn't get the decision, he said, oh, this is just practice. And so he had his own way of allowing me to know that, you know, you don't dwell on things that you can't change.
Hmm. You know, you went through, you fought in a lot of different weight classes. What motivated you to move into the heavyweight class? Why did you want to do that, first of all?
Well, you know, because that's actually the goal. When I was 8 years old, he told me I could be the heavyweight champion of the world. But, you know, of course, as a kid, you know, I wasn't too excited by gaining weight because you fought bigger guys, and they hit a little harder each and every time. And so, but I kept growing, and you know, from 65 all the way up to heavyweight. And,
yeah.
But it took a period of time. It took me 20 years to get there, but I didn't quit. So I became the heavyweight champion of the world.
You know, I want to talk to you about some of your famous fights, and I have to begin with one that is probably the best-known fight. I have to admit, I'm not a boxing fan, but I heard about this fight and know about this fight. That was your infamous fight on June 28, 1997, with another former heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson. We have a clip of that, and we're going to play that now.
very angry Evander Holyfield now. A left hook.
You know, it's funny, Tyson. Mike was having his best round.
He did it again. Mike Tyson has bitten Evander Holyfield for the second time, and it is all out war.
That is just amazing to hear, and it was amazing when it happened. Tell us a bit about that fight and what it was like to be in that ring at that moment.
Well, you know, it was the second fight. Of course, I beat Mike the first fight and stopped him in the 11th round. So coming to this fight here, you know, Mike's supposed to be tougher and I thought he was going to be a little bit more aggressive. But when the bell rung, he wasn't. He tried to outbox me. And of course, I applied pressure, and I was really, really getting the best of him. And come out third round, Mike clinched and Mike bit me on the ear. And it surprised me because it was shocking because in all the things in boxing, very rarely someone gets bit.
Yeah.
And when I jumped up, it hurt so bad. And my first thought was to bite him back.
But you didn't.
But I know two wrongs don't make right. So I chose not to. And I just realized I was going to get him. And, of course, Mill Lane, as referee, took points. And he checked with the doctor to find out what should he do, and they say he's all right, he can continue to fight. Then once we start back boxing, he bit my other ear. And that's when Mill Lane just stopped the fight altogether, and he just knew it just wasn't right.
It just wasn't right, absolutely. We are talking with Evander Holyfield about his life and his career. The number is 800-989-8255. And we're going to take a call now from Jennifer. She's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
First of all, it's an honor to talk to you. And I've seen you fight, and I've seen you in interviews, and I wanted to just ask, how do you, or should I say, what you do to help your body recoup after the things that you do to it and what you have to require out of it just to function in your profession?
Well, you know, I guess the most important thing is rest. And the food that you put in your body, you know, I've been boxing ever since I was 8 years old, so I never really been out of shape. So the body is easy to recover because it's accustomed to recovering. Rest is just one of the most important things to recover.
How do you get? What I keep wondering, and maybe Jennifer, you wondered this too. But when you see a boxing match, it's just so physically taxing. I always just wonder how you just even keep going. And I guess it is, you know, as you say, you've been doing it since you were eight, so it's the discipline of the sport. But there must be moments when you really just—it's really hard to just keep going. How do you push through?
Well, it's a desire. It's a desire and the love of what you're doing. And so when you prepare yourself to what victory really about, and it's never quit, because if you quit, then you never win.
Right.
But if you just somehow just mustered up all the energy that's necessary to show up, your chance to win is always great.
So it's mental toughness too.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, Jennifer.
Thank you. Good luck.
Let me take a call from Casey. Casey is calling from South Dakota, I believe. Hi, Casey.
Hello. How you doing? Pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Holyfield. My question is there any long-term effects cognitively that you've noticed through the years of fighting, and you know, any damage that you've noticed personally in just your cognitive ability?
No, not at all. I think that when you take care, you know, the most important thing is taking care of yourself. My body is my company. And so, you know, it's a lifestyle that one have to live if they're going to be an athlete. It's a price that you have to pay that the people that's not in sports don't have to pay. And this is the reason why my body is, I'm able to do things even at this age that a lot of people kind of think is foolish. But because I take care of my body, it's a price. I'm not the common person because I don't do the common things. So if I box and I'm going to get hit on, I have to take care of the body. And certain things that people have privilege to, I don't. Because the fact is, I know it's taxing on my body.
Well, my wife and I sure enjoyed watching you on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your call, Casey.
You bet.
You know, I forgot about that. That was fun, huh?
Well, it was fun when it was over.
Which is harder, dancing or fighting a heavyweight boxing championship?
Well, I'm realistic. Anything is hard when you don't understand it and you trying to understand to do something, and in the years that it took people to be great, you trying to do it in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks. And, you know, it's nerve-wracking.
We're talking with Evander Holyfield about his new autobiography, Becoming Holyfield, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Mr. Holyfield, I wanted to ask you about one subject that's been in the news a lot lately, and that's the use of performance-enhancing drugs in sports. And about a year ago, you were accused of using those drugs. The San Francisco Gate quoted you as saying that I'm fairly certain I know how my name come up. I don't want to say anything more till I have all the facts, which I hope is just a matter of weeks. And at that time, I'll release everything I know, no holds barred. So what has happened since then with regard to those charges or accusations?
Yeah, well, when they got the information and they found out that, you know, my father, he's the one that got the medication, but, you know, my father, I paid for his medication. He was in Alabama. He had heart trouble. And once I said, well, you can test me now, test me whenever you want to and all that. And when they was able to pull up my record from the time I turned heavyweight, which is 1990, to, you know, 2000 to 2005, they realized that my weight hadn't increased number 2 pounds, and they never seen me overweight. They never seen me underweight. They realized that I've been tested every time I fought and always been negative. So they realized it wasn't nothing but an allegation.
All right. Let's take a call now from Brian. He's calling from Long Island in New York. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Evander. How you doing? Nice to talk to you, sir. My question is about the performance-enhancing drugs, not on you but or anybody. It's just that how do you feel that these people should handle testing these people instead of the government stepping in and start pinning, pointing at everybody to say, you did it, you did it, you did it, and nobody's taking account of how to handle this? How do you feel that they should go on and take care of this?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, my opinion is just like anybody else's opinion, but I truly feel that, you know, season start, they should test people and have the random test for everybody, regardless to just as football do. They just random to test people and be done with it.
All right. Thanks for your call, Brian.
Thank you very much, Evander.
All right, let's take a call from Derek, and Derek is calling from California. Hi, Derek.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was just wondering, Mr. Holyfield, what do you think about the direction that boxing is headed in as far as, like, I remember when I was growing up in the late 80s and the early 90s, you know, it was Mike Tyson was always in the news, and George Foreman was making his comeback, and then, of course, it was you, and then, you know, guys like Lennox Lewis, and I'm a casual fan now, but I couldn't name a heavyweight boxer right now, and I'll wait off the phone for your answer. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, I think the most important thing is that what have changed is America is not giving back to the amateur program and to allow the amateur to get the exposure that's necessary to allow them to stay an amateur long enough to become quality professionals. So when they turn pro, they will be able to sustain the ability to continue to win. It changed so much now because majority of the fighters don't don't have the ability to make the adjustment to fight the different styles that they would have already fought in amateur.
All right. We're going to take try and squeeze one more call in here. Greg from Oklahoma. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Vander. I've been a big fan a long time. My question is kind of related to the comments that you made just a second ago, but why do you think that the Russians or the old Eastern Soviet bloc country heavyweight fighters have become so dominant in the heavyweight division? And I'll take your comments off air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I believe they're more dominant because they amateur program. They have great amateur program. And as you can see, the United States is not – United States used to always be strong in the heavier weight division. Now they are weaker in the heavyweight division because the program, they are not giving back to the amateur program like it was – to be the United States heavyweight, it used to be a great thing to be. Now they don't show amateur boxing on television enough to get the young people interested and wanting to do that. So we do have good young fighters, but we don't have a lot of experience.
All right, thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us today. It was really a pleasure talking with you, Mr. Holyfield.
Thank you.
Former heavyweight champion Evander Holyfield's new book is called Becoming Holyfield. He joined us today from our NPR studios in New York City. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.